Bibles, turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Again, we'll take a look this morning at the Christmas story, part of what Pastor Bill read for us a little earlier. This morning, I want to kind of finish the series that we have entitled Christmas, and we've been talking about that for the past couple of weeks, And I know that that is not the story for all of us. As a matter of fact, this morning I was talking with someone on the way in before the service, and they were talking about it. I said, well, you know, Pastor, you know, the service, you know, this Christmas thing, you know, my Christmas has been awesome. It's been really, really good. I haven't had any problems. I haven't had any issues. I haven't had any struggles. And so I heard you talking about it's good. It's good. It could be bad. It could be like, you know, Christmas and Charlie Brown and all that kind of stuff. And then about a week ago, stuff started happening. And said, so, you know, it kind of culminated. He said, I had a gift for someone I was going to bring, a Barbie dream house. I'll tell you my Barbie dream house story sometime. It came as close to divorce as probably we have ever come with the Barbie dream house and 14,000 pieces to be put together after Christmas Eve. But I'm not bitter. It's okay. I'm not bitter at all. So anyway, he says he's bringing in this Barbie dream house to give to someone. And he's walking across the parking lot. And so the wind came and blew it out of his hand. He said he's looking at hundreds of pieces. And he says, there's your Christmas right there. There it is. Christmas is supposed to be one of those times of the year that is an awesome time. You know, we have this picture in our mind of what it should look like, right? Take a look at this picture here. That's what Christmas is supposed to be, right? That's what we want it to be. That's what we aim at. That's what we picture in our mind and in our brain. Everybody's happy. Everybody gets what they want. The lights are glowing. The tree is beautiful. No one's fighting. Life is good. But that's not what we get. Many, many times we get the Charlie Brown Christmas tree. We get the Chris mess. And that's okay. Because God can take our mess and turn it into a real Christmas, and he does that in a couple of different ways, and we've talked about that in the last few weeks. We said that he's present with us in our mess. We're not alone. We're not all by ourselves. He hasn't just randomly dropped us here. We don't have to despair. If we reach out, if we trust him, he will be there with us, and we saw that in that first Christmas. We said that he works in unexpected ways. That just in the same way that he showed up time after time after time in the life of people in that first Christmas with Mary and with Joseph and with so many of the others, that God will show up in our life when we trust him and lean into him and expect him to do that as well. And then finally, this morning, I want to talk to you about the way that God redeems our Christmas. That's what I want to look at with you today. To redeem means to compensate for something, or to compensate for the faults or the bad aspects of something, or to regain or to gain possession in exchange for a payment. And that's the good news of the gospel. The good news of the gospel is this, that God can redeem our Christmas. He can take this mess that we have on our hands with our family, sometimes that's not speaking, with our finances in a mess, with all the different struggles, all the different problems that come with Christmas sometimes. And God can redeem that. God can make something worthwhile come out of that. He gains possession of our mess, and he makes it what it should be. Now, I want you to look with me this morning at each one of the situations, and I want you to see that every single time in that first Christmas, when something was a mess, God stepped in, and God was at work. The mess wasn't arbitrary. The mess wasn't just random. The mess wasn't just life taking place and bad things happening because stuff happens in life sometimes. That's not what's going on. When you look at that first Christmas, and you see those times when there are difficulties, and you see those times when there are struggles, it is very intentional from God. He's either doing it or allowing it. Not always doing it, sometimes allowing it, in order to bring about his perfect purpose. He has a reason for allowing those struggles and those trials and those difficulties in life. He redeemed every single bad thing that happened. He didn't always take away the pain. He didn't make the people exempt from the struggles. But in the middle of each situation, God was at work. And when all was said and done, he made it worthwhile. Each one of those, what we think of bad situations that we're going to look at this morning, is a fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy. There was a point behind what was taking place. God had a purpose that he was working through, working out and accomplishing through what was going on. He had purpose for our pain. Because sometimes the difficulties are painful. Sometimes they are a struggle. Sometimes they do hurt. Look with me, if you will, beginning in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. You know the story. You've probably heard it 100 times this year so far. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." I want you to hit the pause button for just a second. I want you to take all the Christmas hoopla out of the story. And I want you to make it just human and real for a moment, okay? Here is a young man who is engaged to be married to a young woman. And in that day and age, the betrothal was very much considered almost a part of marriage. And he knows that he has not been with her physically. And she breaks the news to him that she's pregnant. Hurts, doesn't it? It's not your child. I mean, take the Christmas story out. Take the angel out. We're not to that part of the story yet. This is the part where Mary is talking to Joseph, and she's explaining to him that she is pregnant. Charlie, what are you feeling at that moment? It's not good, is it? We are not in a happy place right now. Because this person that I love, this person that I trust, this person that I believed in, this person that I dreamed about spending the rest of my life with, has betrayed me. And we don't just go, "Oh, this is over and done," and just walk away, right? It hurts. There's pain involved in this story. When someone betrays us, when someone hurts us, when someone treats us that way, it's painful. Joseph was upset. The word means he's perplexed. It means to roll something over and over and over in your mind. It's that thing that we do late at night, 3 o'clock in the morning, when we're staring at the ceiling trying to figure out what in the world was she thinking. I wonder who the guy is. I wonder what happened. When did it take place? He's trying to get his mind wrapped around this. He was afraid. The word means to be apprehensive. To be fearful. He's afraid to take her home as his wife. He's afraid that it's going to continue. He's afraid that what people... He's probably afraid of 1,000 different things. But here's what I want you to see. And here's what you need to understand. God had a purpose in that pain. That pain did not surprise God. Right? Do you think God was caught off guard by the fact that what was happening with Mary was going to hurt Joseph? Do you think that he threw up his hands and went, "Oh, I didn't see that coming"? No, he knew that. He knew that this was going to be a painful experience for Joseph. Now listen, you don't have to like it. You just got to hear it. And he did it anyway. Because there's something going on here in this story that is bigger than Joseph's pain. God had a purpose for the pain. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Had Joseph had a magic telescope to look down 30 years into the future, and see the cross and the resurrection, he probably would have said, "It's worth it." But God doesn't always give us that perspective, does he? when we are in the middle of our pain, when we're in the middle of our story, when we're in the middle of what is taking place in our life, God doesn't always explain what he's doing. See, we have the advantage of looking back on the story. We see the whole picture. We see everything that's taking place. Joseph that night lying in bed, having just left Mary, he doesn't know what's going on until the angel shows up. He's still trying to process this. And I believe that his heart is breaking, because this person that he loves has hurt him. See, from the very beginning of the story, God had a purpose. Every step along the way, every tear, every sleepless night, every bump on the journey, every doubt, every fear, God knew where he was headed. He had a purpose in the pain. And I want you to listen to me. He has a purpose in your pain as well. I don't know what it is. I don't know where it is. I don't know how it is, where it comes from. But if you will trust him, if you will place it in his hands, if you will come to him and ask him to walk with you through it, he can redeem your mess as well. I look back on my life and I see some of the most difficult and painful times in my life, some of the greatest struggles that I had, and I realize that God has used every single one of them to make me more of what he wants me to be, to prepare me for what he wants me to do. And that's what he wants to do with you as well. Whatever you're going through, it isn't random. It isn't arbitrary. God can redeem it and restore it and use it if you will put it in his hands. God has a purpose for our pain. Secondly, God delivers us through our mess. Notice I said through and not always from. Because what we want is we want God to take it away, right? That's what I want. I'm like, God, can you just erase this? Can you just make it go away? But what we often get is God walking with us through the pain, making us stronger, helping us have victory. And we see that happening with Joseph and Mary that first Christmas. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. When they had gone, when the wise men had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I call my son. I mean, again, just take the story away. Take the Christmas story away. And now you're back to Mary and Joseph. Joseph has been obedient to God. Joseph has taken her home as his wife. Now they've had a baby. The angels have shown up. The shepherds have shown up. The wise men have shown up. And then now God steps in and he says, here's what I want you to do, Joseph. Now it's time for another journey. Seriously? You got to be kidding me. More? You've never prayed that prayer, have you? God, you want more from me now? You haven't? It's not been bad enough yet? It's not been hard enough yet? It's not been difficult enough yet? We haven't gone through enough? We've got the baby. We've had the trip. There's no room in the inn. The angels, this misunderstanding about the baby. God, when are you going to stop this? When are you going to get a grip on this thing? This story is out of hand. Yet God was still at work. He's delivering them from the wrath of Herod. Now listen, understand, he could simply have changed Herod's heart. Proverbs, for the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord, and he turns it as a watercourse wherever he wants it to go. The heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. He could have stepped in, and he could have stopped what Herod was thinking, what Herod was feeling, what Herod was going to try and do. But he didn't do that. He chose a very different way to deliver them. He sent them down to Egypt. I'm like, seriously? If I'm Joseph, me and God are having a discussion at that point. I'm starting to feel like a ping pong ball. Nazareth, Bethlehem, Jerusalem, Egypt. No, not here or there. Over and over and over again. But see, there's a reason for God working that way. And Matthew tells us. Because, here's what the Old Testament says, here's what the prophet Hosea said, out of Egypt, I've called my son. In order for Jesus to perfectly fulfill every one of the Old Testament prophecies, he had to go to Egypt. God was at work fulfilling every single prophecy of the Old Testament. Had he stepped in, intervened, changed Herod's heart, and they had not gone down to Egypt, Jesus couldn't have been the Messiah. Because he would not have fulfilled all of the Old Testament prophecies. It had to be this way. And sometimes if you will allow God in your mess, he will deliver you through yours as well. He will guide you. He will direct you through it. He will not always take it away. He will not always change what you want him to reach in and pull out. His standard operating procedure typically tends to be, CX, we're going to make you a little bit stronger. We're going to make you a little bit better. We're going to make you a little bit more on target here. A few rough edges we need to still polish off here, so we're going to take care of those. And you're like, I don't really want you to take care of those. I'm happy with where they are. And he's like, I didn't even really ask if you wanted me to or not. We're going to polish you up. And he does. He uses those difficulties. He walks us through the struggles. But when he does that, it's always with a purpose. There's always a reason behind it. He doesn't hate you. He's not ignoring you. He's not being careless with your life. He loves you with an undying love. And he's making you into the image of his son. He has a purpose and a meaning behind the struggle. In order to fulfill the Old Testament prophecy, God used the wrath and the ugliness of Herod to accomplish his plan. Because you see, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. Now, we know that up here. But translating that from here to here, when we are walking through the mess, is hard. Believing that he really has something good. God, can there possibly be anything good that's going to come out of this minimum 120-mile journey down to Egypt? One way. Minimum. Another country, foreign country. And God is at work to accomplish his perfect purpose. God also guides and directs us in the middle of our mess. Joseph and Mary and Jesus stayed in Egypt until Herod died. Then they started back to Israel at the direction of the angel. Look with me, pick up the story over here in chapter 2 and verse 19. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, and he said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. At that point, I would have tapped out. Done. No more. I am not taking another journey. No. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. You just sent me down here, and now you're going to turn around and send me somewhere else. When is this craziness going to stop? Here's what I want you to see. Joseph and Mary had got to be feeling like a ping pong ball by now. Journey to Bethlehem, journey to Egypt, journey to Jerusalem, back out of Egypt. Back to Israel. Oh, not this place in Israel, that place in Israel. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. That's why God sent them out. That's why he sent them to Egypt. He was delivering them from this incredible tragedy, this incredible act of viciousness on Herod's part. Every single one of the moves that was made was under the control and the direction of God. Every single one of them was necessary. Every single one of them fulfilled in Old Testament prophecy. Every single one of them protected them. And yet I believe with all my heart that they didn't know it along the way. They didn't know what the end result was. They didn't know where they were going. They didn't know why they were going there. God was at work every time in the middle of what must have seemed to Joseph and Mary to be this incredible mess. Directing and providing and helping. And all the while fulfilling His purpose, not just for them, but for other people as well. See, that's a part of the story here. What happens in your life? Listen, what happens in your life? Sometimes it's not about you at all. Sometimes it's about what God is preparing you to do for someone else. Sometimes He's getting you ready because you're not yet equipped. You're not yet strong enough. You're not yet prepared. You don't have the tools that you need to make a positive spiritual impact in someone else's life. And through the process of what He allows to come into your life and you learning to trust Him and you learning to walk with Him and you learning to allow Him to equip you, He's giving you every single thing that you need to bless someone else. Sometimes it's not even about you at all. It's about that other person that He wants to bless through you. And sometimes we get so zoned in on ourselves and so zoned in on our struggle and so zoned in on what's going on in our life, and we're all that way, that we don't even pause to think what He's going to do with that. And so we need to allow Him to guide and direct us in the middle of that mess because He's going to put us in exactly the place that He wants us to be. And He'll do that if we will trust Him. He'll do that if we allow Him to do what He wants to do in our life. They go down to Egypt. They stay down there until Herod dies. Then they start on their way back. And if you continue to read the story, what happens is they have a destination in mind. And halfway back on their journey, God says, no, don't go there. Go somewhere else. Okay. Whatever. And so they end up exactly where God needs them to be. So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. Now listen. And so was fulfilled what was said through the prophets. He will be called a Nazarene. At this point, I'm like, can somebody just pull the prophets out of the Old Testament? If I was Joseph, I'm like, can you get rid of those guys? Because they're causing me a lot of trouble. For me to follow every single one and fulfill every single one of their prophecies is starting to be a problem. And yet, that's what God is doing. Don't miss it. In the middle of the mess, okay? In the middle of what, to us, looks like a mess, to Joseph and Mary certainly must have felt like a mess. It is a perfectly orchestrated plan from the hand of God to accomplish exactly what He wanted to accomplish. He is moving the pieces on the chessboard and putting them where they need to be so that when the time is right, the Messiah is going to be revealed. And then finally, God redeems and restores our mess. Now, this is a hard one, so I want you to pay close attention with me, okay? Sometimes we don't understand what God is doing. Sometimes we don't agree with or like what God is doing. Or what God, in this instance, allows. For me, this is one of those times. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around it. Even when I get it intellectually, even when I understand the pieces, it's the point at which I look at God and I'm like, God, what are you doing? It's the slaying of the innocent children by Herod. That's a difficult thing, isn't it? If God is a loving God, and if God is a just God, how can he allow this to happen? I mean, you get asked that question by people all the time, right? Not about that particular instance, maybe, but about something that's going on in their life. Some mess that they have, some problem that they have. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. I don't get it. Do you even understand that? I'm straight up front. Been doing this for 40 some years. Can't explain that. But I got a little bit of insight. So I'm just sharing with you what I think. That and $5 gets you a cup of coffee at Starbucks. We underestimate the significance and the impact of sin. We do. Sin is awful. Every time it shows up, something or someone dies. And we underestimate that. We call it, you know, a mistake or an error or a misjudgment or an oversight. But if you want to see the ugliness of sin, look at what Herod does in order to try and protect his position and his place and his power. That's what sin looks like. You can dress it up, you can paint it up, you can pretty it up, but sin's ugly. And we underestimate the impact of sin. Secondly, we underestimate the holiness of God. And when His holiness is offended, as it is when we sin, justice is going to prevail. You see, we have this image of God as the big Santa Claus in the sky, and He's like, oh, it's okay, don't worry about it. It's not a biblical perspective on God's dealing with sin at all. I think we underestimate the value that God places on free moral agency and free will. See, God made us with the ability to choose. And we can choose right or we can choose wrong. And He allows us to do that. He allows you to do that. And He values that so much that He allowed, listen to me, He allowed Herod to make this choice. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't like it. And we devalue and downplay the cost of redemption. And what we see taking place with Herod and these children brings all of those pieces together. Now you track it, you pay attention. Because free will is at play here, isn't it? Because Herod has the ability to make that choice. God doesn't force us to make the right choice. He doesn't force us to do the right thing. In order for us to be free to choose the right thing and free to choose love, we must also be free to choose the wrong thing. And that's what Herod did. And sin and holiness and free will and the cost of redemption all kind of come together as you look at this story here. Now I want you to be really, really clear with what I'm saying. God did not do this. Herod did this. And Herod is responsible. But God in His infinite justice and holiness redeemed this awful tragedy. Number one, it does fulfill an Old Testament prophecy from Jeremiah 31. But even more than that, it shows us how far God will go. It shows us how much He values redemption and the price of redemption. Because here's what I know. Not a single one of those mothers and those fathers that night willingly offered their young son to the soldiers that came to take them and slay them. Not a one. Before the service, I was walking around saying hi to folks. I met a couple that's been here for a while. I won't embarrass them by calling them out. You have to be here for 6 months before I embarrass you. I met their daughter, Zoe. She's precious. Looks to be like 3 to 6 months, something like that. Maybe a little bit old, somewhere around in there. Beautiful eyes. I promise you, when the soldiers showed up that night, not a single one of those fathers said, "Here, take my son." None of them did. Those children were snatched away from those parents. And yet, this foreshadows the heart of God on the cross of Jesus Christ. Because listen to me. No one snatched him from the Father's hand. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. See, we undervalue the cost of redemption. We forget. For free moral agency, we have to be able to have the ability to choose the wrong thing. But the justice and holiness of God demands payment. And so God did for us with his Son what we could not do for ourselves. And we love the baby in the manger. We love the nativity. We love the story of the angels. But don't you ever forget this. He was born to die on a cross. To pay the price for our sin, because the wages of sin is death. And a part of what is happening with Herod, and a part of what is happening with those children, is God is showing us the extent he is willing to go with his own son to pay the price for my sin and for yours. And when we get that, when we understand that, it moves us, or me, to respond. So today, if your Christmas is a mess, if it's a disaster, if you think that it has gone so far that it's beyond redemption, if you think that your family, your finances, your health, your whatever your mess is, if you think it is so big and it is so great and it is so awful and it is so terrible that there's nothing that can ever redeem it, to believe that is a lie straight from the pit of hell. Because God gave his Son to redeem and restore and renew your mess. And he can and will do that if you will give it to him and offer it to him and allow him in to restore, renew your mess. See, that's the good news. If you will bring him what you have, he can find purpose in your pain. Here's more good news. He takes our mess, wherever it is, whatever it is, and he works with it to bring about his perfect plan. We often say to ourselves, you know what, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait. My life is such a mess. My problems are so big. There's so many things that are out of control. I'm going to get them fixed a little bit. I'm going to get them in line. I'm going to get this cleaned up. I'm going to get that rearranged. I'm going to get that one taken care of. I'm going to get that one put away. And when I get my life right, when I get it all perfectly wrapped up in this beautiful present, then I'm going to give it to him. I got news for you. It's never going to get there. It's never going to get there. It's kind of like my wrapping of Christmas presents. If you ever get a Christmas present from me, you will never forget it. It's like, you know, just get the paper and roll the present in it 4, 5, 6 times. and then start folding the corners and putting tape on it. Here. Greatest invention ever was Christmas bags to put stuff in. Thank you, Jesus. I made a mistake this year of getting some presents that were bigger than the bags I could find. I had to wrap some. I won't go into that disaster. Like a Saturday Night Live skit. I had tape everywhere. It was so bad by the time I got done. And this is no kidding. Thursday night, I'll never forget. It's a little day that will live in infamy forever. I came home with all these presents, put the ones in bags that I could get, and I had bought some wrapping paper, and it started with the wrapping paper. You know they wrap that stuff in plastic? Oh my gosh. It took me 20 minutes to get the plastic off the wrapping paper. And then I had a tape dispenser. It was designed by a guy so that the tape was wider than the tape cutter. I couldn't get the tape to cut. Golly day. It took like an hour. Then finally, I made a serious mistake. I got all the presents wrapped. I'm finally done. I'm exhausted. So I get up, and I'm supposed to have dinner ready for Darlene in a few moments. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get one of those instant baked potato things that's pre-wrapped in plastic. You should have seen me trying to get that off, Jamie. I needed a chainsaw, brother. God can take your mess. Listen to me. God can take your mess if you will give it to Him. And He can restore it. And He can renew it. And He can bring something beautiful out of it. That's why His Son died. Sometimes you need people to help. Sometimes you need a little bit of time for perspective. But there's a purpose in the pain. And when you get the purpose, when you understand what God is doing, it won't take the pain away. But it will soften it. It will temper it. It will help it make sense. And you just have to trust. Because sometimes we don't see it for years. That God can use the mess in your life to bring about His perfect plan. So today we're going to do something a little bit different as we close. If you'll bow your head and close your eyes, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to pray. Worship team's going to come and they're going to prepare to sing our last song. But while I'm praying, here's what I want you to do. If there's a mess in your life that you want to offer to Him, just lift it up. You can look at me for a second. You can just lift it up and say, God, here. Take this. And everybody else is going to have their eyes closed because we're going to pray. But I'm expecting about 90% of us have got a mess on our hands. And if you'll lift it up to Him, I'm going to pray that God will take it and bring Christmas out of a Christmas mess. Would you do that? Let's pray. Father, I thank You for today. As You look at the hands that are lifted around this room, Lord, I know that there are all kinds of people who are lifting a mess up to You that is totally out of their control. And yet, Lord, we know, we believe that You can make a difference in this situation. So, God, I pray that You will begin working even now. That You will start to bring all the pieces into place. That You'll give us some perspective. That You'll bring the people that we need to help us understand what's going on. And Lord, I pray that You'll take our mess and turn it into something beautiful. Accomplish Your perfect purpose in it and in our life. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand as we sing this?